I'm Bob Collins, RV7A builder for 11 years, flyer for 1 month. And this hour is dedicated each day this week not only to the nuts and bolts of building an airplane, but actually more toward the people who build and the neat things they do.
It's a pleasure for me to be here with you, Bob. I'm enjoying being here, although I feel a little bit out of my element being on the air.
Yeah, so am I, and I've been doing it for 35 years. So Don's a home builder from Alabama, is working on a RV7, right?
That's correct.
How far along?
I'm trudging along. I've finished the empennage, and then probably, you know, about halfway through the wing, getting ready to pretty soon work on the fuel, the dreaded fuel tanks.
Yeah, well, they're not as bad as you've heard. Yeah. Don is involved in a volunteer effort, which I think is kind of needed. It's one of the things that not just home builders, but pilots in general take part in. In this case, pilots and Paws, and he flies around the country basically rescuing dogs, which is a That's a good thing. That's a noble thing. How'd you get started in that?
Well, the way I got started was I was aware of this back in 2008 when it actually started. Not long afterwards, I saw it on the internet and actually got a username and a password. Mm-hmm. And about the same time, I was developing a problem with my heart, with a heart murmur. And eventually, in 2009, had to go into surgery to have my valve replaced. So one of my goals was to obviously get my special issuance third class medical back.
Sure.
Which was I was able to do the next year, summer of 2010. I was legal to go flying again. Mm-hmm. And I'd been keeping up with Pilots and Paws, and I saw a post come up that looked like on the message board, which is really good on the pilotsandpaws.org mm-hmm. network there. A flight that I could make to go rescue a Boston Terrier that was up in Kentucky. It had been found. I don't know all the details of it, but all the veterinary papers were in order and everything was okay to take the dog back to a rescue group that happens to be in my hometown or where I live right now. So it was just an out and back flight. And so I signed up for it, made the phone calls, told them I was willing to do it. We set a time, and it's entirely up to me. When we go, I coordinate it with the people on the other end up in Kentucky, and took an old friend of mine who used to fly a lot with me, and I used to fly a lot with him, and we made the trip up, about a two-hour flight.
Hmm.
And
were you a dog guy to begin with?
Yeah, I'm a dog guy. We've had all kinds of dogs. We've had, and you know, most of the dogs that we've had, my wife and I talked about the other day, almost all the dogs we've had have had some kind of little, you know, they were like kind of like a rescue situation, although we didn't really think of them as rescues. But we had a Peek-a-Poo, we've had a Doberman, we've had a Labrador, a mixed lab, Great Pyrenees, which is a great dog. We've had a Rat Terrier, and we presently have a dog which we found out about a year ago. We've had him 4 years, is a Fox Terrier. Mm-hmm. And at least if he's not a Fox Terrier, he sure looks like one on the internet. They're not really purebred dogs, the ones we've had, but as far as papers and so forth. And that's another thing about the group. We not only transport dogs, we transport cats, and sometimes there's requests come through for turtles and snakes and things
serious?
Like that.
But are you serious?
I'm not going to, you know, here I'm a spokesman for Pilots and Paws simply because nobody else would. I tried to volunteer someone else. But
well, it sounds
I'm
better than calling it Pilots and Snakes
or
and
Pilots
cats
and Pythons.
And, yeah. That would work too.
But I'm not ready to put a snake in my airplane, let's put it that way. But I've had good luck with the dogs. You know, some of my friends have said, you put a dog in your airplane? You know, you know the dog, but Pilots and Paws provides the kennels, the little cages, mm-hmm. Different sizes. I think I have 6 kennels in my hangar that I can choose from to take on my flights. They provide leashes and almost anything else I need. And if I may say so, we are sponsored by contributions from Subaru as well as Petmate. Mm-hmm. And they help us with procuring some of these supplies that we use.
And I should point out, these are dogs that have been abused.
They've been abused.
That's right.
Abandoned and just left behind. We don't always know the story. I think the important thing to say is that we're just a part of the rescue network. There's a whole network of people out there right now that existed before we came along in 2008, moving animals, dogs and cats primarily, by cars. Some truck drivers have been involved through the years. People with motorhome groups, communicate with each other when they're going on a trip. They may pick up a dog and take it from a rescue situation to a foster situation. There's a whole network that I was amazed existed. And so what they do is they call us in to help when they have a need, particularly a dog who may not travel well in a car or in the hot weather. They want to get there quick. I made trips to Pensacola, Florida, one trip to Pensacola, Florida that way, a trip to East Tennessee that way.
Do dogs like flying? I mean,
I've never had a problem.
Really?
I've never had a problem with that. You know, people
I would have thought just the opposite.
People have told me they're going to make a mess in my airplane. Yeah. The airplane I'm flying right now is a Cessna 172, but I've never had a problem with them.
Wow. And so somebody's already adopted the dog that you're transporting. Is that how it works?
These rescue groups, some of them are like primarily Doberman or Pekingese or Poodle or whatever. They're all different kinds of rescue groups.
Yeah.
And some of them just are interested in rescuing dogs, no matter what breed they are. And that's fine. It doesn't matter to us. But then we... They do all the legwork as far as working, and the internet, I didn't mention that a while ago, the internet has really helped those folks do their work, and it's helped us to come in and help them too. But they find someone that wants the dog.
I see.
And sad to say, there are about 8 million dogs that are in animal shelters throughout the United States, and over half of them are euthanized every year.
Yeah.
And there are different spay and neutering laws throughout the country. Typically, there are stronger laws up in the Northeast, so that creates a demand for dogs because there are not as many dogs available. And sad to say, down the South where I'm from, there are not very strong spaying and neutering laws, and so there are a lot of dogs that are available or euthanized.
Yeah.
And some shelters are very good about being no-kill shelters. In other words, they work with the rescuers. Even the ones that are classified as kill shelters work with the rescuers to try to get them to better homes. Yeah. But some of them are under law in their local community, or perhaps state, but more I think local, to if they have a dog or an animal for a month.
Yeah.
It varies. You know, there's been another thing, there's been sad stories of dogs being in an animal shelter for a year or more with no home situation. And I don't consider myself a big dog person, but when I heard some of these things, you know, I love my dogs, I love my animals, but I love my kids more, you know?
Yeah. That's good, because your son's sitting right over here.
Yeah. We weren't going to let him be on the air that way.
Yeah, you know. had you thought about what you're going to do when you've got a home built? I mean, does the plane matter in any of this stuff, or will any old plane do?
Well, any old plane will do. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a fast airplane at all. Some pilots like to carry 8 or 10 dogs at a time.
That seems a lot.
And that's fine. You know, when Katrina happened, there was a big need for pilots to go down there, and I wasn't in pilots and paws at that time, or wasn't flying, or maybe even pilots and paws didn't exist. No, don't know the time frame, but I know there were a lot of people trying to get dogs out. And a lot of guys like to carry a lot of dogs at one time, or cats. Most of my requests have been for onesies or twosies. So in building an RV-7, I don't see it as a problem. I know Pete Howell flies an RV-6.
He's a friend of mine. He's got an RV-9.
RV-9, okay. But he can fly the... Usually, he's been flying most of...
He's got great pictures. And he just puts the dog in the passenger seat and away they go.
I haven't done that. You know, that's your option. If you feel comfortable with having the dog in there where you can pet him or rub him, and maybe if you get to know the dog well for a few moments before you get in the airplane, that would be well and good. I've had some almost every one of my dogs have gone to sleep.
I'll be darned.
And I do have the earmuffs that I can put on to protect their hearing, but most of them, they'd rather not have the earmuffs on, apparently. But anyway, we don't worry too much about that. It's usually a short flight.
And when they call and they say, Don, we need you to go pick up a French Terrier or whatever, how much notice do you get? I mean, you have to almost be on call for that sort of thing?
No, not really. Most of the time it's within the next 2 weeks. I'd like to move it on the weekend. And quite frankly, most of the transports, I think, are on the weekends.
Pilots and Paws. .org and is just the N. Pilotsandpaws.org is the
website
to go.
Pilots N, the letter N, Paws, P-A-W-S, .org. That's the website to go to find out more about this.
For a guy a little nervous about being on the radio, you're pretty good at this.
Well, so. I don't know about that. I just talk. My wife says I talk too much.
Thanks. You didn't. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you, Bob.
Good to see you.